Revelation chapter 21, and begin reading verse number 1. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for this glimpse into eternity that it gives us. And we just pray that you would help us to understand what is to come, take comfort in it, and that it would inspire us that we would live each day in light of eternity. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so through this year we've been considering the thought of having 2020 spiritual vision, that we would really get a sense of the world, not just as we see it with our physical eyes, but that we would see it in its fullness through the eyes of faith, that we would recognize all that is going on around us, recognize that there is a God in heaven that's watching over us, and that he can give us guidance and wisdom and purpose through these times. And I think in this year, with all that we have been dealing with, I think that our need for spiritual vision becomes all the more clear. Otherwise, it would be easy for us to sink into frustration and despair and anxiety through all this time. But it is something that it is easy for us in this time, what we're going through, to focus on the now, to focus on what is in front of us and what we're dealing with this coronavirus and all the fallout and repercussions that's had in terms of society, in terms of the economy, in terms of our state of mind and everything else. And with it, we look at this time, and it's been 6 months now since we really started this whole time, and we start to wonder, is it ever going to end? Is it ever going to get back to normal? Is this just going to be the normal from now on? And it's easy for us and for many people to, in this time, to faint and get discouraged, to be overwhelmed with anxiety or despair. And many can be very easily tempted to try to find a way to escape from the situation that we live in. And some may try to find their escape in drugs, others might seek it in pleasure. But of course we recognize that that is only a momentary escape. It doesn't actually help a person deal with the problem, and it adds a whole lot more problems to a person's life. But for many it seems to be the only alternative, because what we don't think that can manage what's going on right now. But this morning I want to show that there is very much an alternative, something that we can, a mindset that we can have that can really help us through this time, and can keep us having good spirits and the right focus. We've looked at this verse before several different times, but we consider again what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. It says, "For we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." And that's what we really want to understand, that all that we see around us is temporal, temporary, momentary. It is going to pass away. That there's a phrase that you see over and over again through the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The phrase, "it came to pass." And we think of it in terms of explaining things that have happened. But I think we can see everything that has happened, that it comes to a point that it passes. And so in dealing with the now and learning to try to find a way to deal with it properly, what we need is a glimpse into eternity. And in this passage that we looked at this morning, Revelation chapter 21, that's exactly what John is given and what he shares with us. That through the book of the Revelation, John has seen so many events unfold as to the future and as to really the end of time, where God brings everything together again to a close. We see how he shows throughout Revelation judgment of the world and of the devil. He shows how Christ comes triumphantly, he returns to the world, delivers his people. We see how he sets up his thousand-year millennial reign on this earth. We see as well in Revelation 20, a final battle as Satan is loosed and deceives the nations once again. But then after that, we see the great white throne judgment. And that really ends history as we know it, this final judgment that happens. And of course, the sorrowful part of that is that the second death, that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. But we see that this world is going to end, and that we find described in 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and it says that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And so that is to come, and that is what we find occurring at the end of Revelation. But then we understand as well that when that happens, that there will be a new heavens and a new earth. We see that in verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says, "Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And so that's what we see spoken of here in Revelation chapter 21, this new heaven and a new earth, that the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And we see in this new heaven and new earth that everything is different. The first thing that's mentioned there is that there is no more sea. And you think of how different our world would be, that I believe it's about 80% of the earth's surface area is covered by water, by the oceans, and this will be very different. We wonder why it's so significant that he says that. Something that had someone point out to me is Micah chapter 7, that God makes a promise. And he says in Micah 7, verses 18-19, says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He remaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." And so it's a thing, and we know too in another place that the Lord promises with the new covenant that our sins and our iniquities he would remember no more. And we think of this in terms of being figurative, of God casting all our sins in the depths of the sea, that it's where no one can ever get to them. But I know in this day and age, there always seem to be developing these new submarines that can go deeper and deeper down into the depths of the earth, farther than they've ever gone before, discovering all these new creatures they never knew existed. But we see at this end time, when there's a new heaven, new earth, that all our sins are cast in the depths of the sea, and then there's no more sea. He takes that away. And so it's really a promise that we can be assured that there will be no more memory of our sin, that He has forgiven it. It is forgotten forever, and we don't have to carry that anymore. But in this new heaven and new earth, we see there's much more that is no more. When time here is no more, so many other things no longer are part of life and what we experience. We see verse 4 that says that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. That thought of no more death, that we see the promise that God gave in Isaiah 25 verse 8 that He would swallow up death in victory, that people would not die anymore. And that's His promise from the beginning of the gospel when Jesus came, is that He sent His Son so that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish but have eternal life. That we would no longer die, we'd have resurrected bodies, that we would live forever with Him. But as well, there will be no more sorrow nor crying, that we will have joy, that there will be not a sadness that we experience there anymore. And as well, there's no more pain, that is not part of it, that we don't experience pain anymore, that things are all those things are passed away. As we see further in Revelation 21 and verse 22, we see in verse 25 it says that there's going to be no night there, that there's not a need for the sun or the moon, because the glory of the Lord did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We see verse 27 that there will show no wise enter into anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, that there will be no more sin there anymore. And then verse 3 of Revelation 22, it says, and there shall be no more curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. And really, you think of it, that our current time here on earth is defined by all these things, by death, sin, and the curse that comes with it. And along with death, sin, and the curse comes sorrow, crying, and pain. That all of that has come on this earth because of sin. And that is our human experience. We see in Psalm 90, one psalm of the 150 that is written by Moses. And we see his statement in verse 10. It says, the days of our year are 80 years and 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, which would be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. That is our life, that we experience a great deal of sorrow, loss of loved ones, and even in this time, different people that have died from this virus and from other reasons, and of course for many people just loss of jobs and other things and trouble with that and sorrow and challenge that brings, that there's so much of that we see pervades our experience in this life. That we experience pain, that our bodies get older, they start to break down. The more we do, the more we feel it. And we see even the world itself It says in Romans 8, verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." And so pain is a part of life right now. Sorrow is a part of life. Death and sin. And we have just sin, how it besets us, how it has its hooks in us so often, and we have these sins that keep us down and that overwhelm us. But there we'll be free of all of that. That'll all be gone. That'll all be a memory. It won't be a part of our life there anymore. And that's why we see in Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, it refers to the world in which we live as this present evil world. And we find, it says there of the Lord Jesus that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And that's what's going to happen. That all these things are going to pass away, and he's going to make all things new. And we think of what it says in Isaiah 51 and verse 11, where it says, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." And that will be our experience, where we spend eternity rejoicing with the Lord, that we have a joy that nothing can take away from that joy that we have, and that sorrow and mourning is going to flee away. It's not going to be a part of our existence anymore. And so we look at that and we see what God has for us, and of course it comes as we trust in Christ the Savior, as we look to him in faith for salvation, that we have eternal life, and it's what he offers to every person on this earth if they'll come to him in repentance and faith. But it is something that we want to, as with John, we want to have a glimpse of eternity. We want to know that that's what it's going to be like. And it's a thing in dealing with the now, having a glimpse of eternity helps us in various different ways to deal with the now properly and to be able to keep going. And so it's what I want to look at in our remainder of our time together this morning is just that thought of how having a glimpse of eternity helps us, and that as we learn to live our lives in the light of eternity, that we are able to deal with the now so much better. And first off, we understand that having a glimpse of eternity and understanding what is to come and understanding eternity itself, it helps us to endure challenging times. That you would kind of think of it this way. If I was to have a measuring tape, I was actually thinking of bringing it, but I forgot to bring it today. But imagine if I was to measure out 100 centimeters, which would be about this long, I believe. And you would say, okay, if a person lived a very long life, 100 years is a very long time to live, and of course have a lot of struggles and trouble in that time. But then we compare that to eternity. And we just kind of think of it, that if I was to put just a meter stick at the end of the church here, and then I was to start to measure to the end, how much further a distance that would be. But yet I wouldn't be to the end of eternity yet. I could come back again and again and again, over and over again, and still I wouldn't reach the end of eternity. And that's really what we want to understand, is that what in the present seems to be so long and be so hard to endure, in light of eternity, we see that it's very, very short. What is so big in the present, in the now, in light of eternity, becomes very, very small. That it's just kind of a blip in our entire existence. And that's why we see and understand why Paul was able to say, when he was suffering great persecution, where his life was in danger, that he'd been physically assaulted and beaten many different times for the faith, that he referred to it as our light affliction. And you say, how could he do that? This is our light affliction, which is but for a moment, because in light of eternity, he recognized, even though throughout his whole ministry it was a constant part of his life, that it's only going to last for a short time. And he said it works in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And that's what he was seeing, that even these sufferings that he endured, that it was to help mold him, help try him, so he would be refined, so that as he continued to be faithful and grew in the faith, that would make eternity all the more sweeter. And so it's a perspective that we want to gain. I think a perspective that is essential to us, that we go through some hard times, we go through some challenging times, some sorrowful times, but we know that it's not going to last forever. That these things will pass, and we need to endure. We need to be patient, and we don't know how long it'll last, but we can wait and be patient. I'm reminded of words of a song by Fanny Crosby titled "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." There's a few phrases in that hymn I wanted to just consider. First is the last two phrases in the second verse, where it says, "Only a few more trials, only a few more tears." And that's the thing, we are going to have trials in our life, we are going to have tears in our life, but in light of eternity, it's only going to be a few more. And we can endure a few more, knowing what lies ahead. And the third verse, it says, "Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore." And that is the thing, is that eternity will dawn one day. And it may seem dark right now, but we need to wait with patience. And know that the day is coming. The night will not last forever. And it's a thought that we can understand that, I think, when we have something to look forward to, it enables us to endure the now. That it's, I know for our kids, when you're eating supper, that it's sometimes they don't necessarily like what's on their plate, but if they know that there's a really good dessert that's at the end, if they finish what's on their plate, they're like, okay, I can choke this down, I can get through this, because I know I want what's coming. And that's really what we want to think about in life. There's so many different things like that, that we would say, I don't want this on my plate, I don't want to have to go through this. God, why are you forcing me to have to be this, be part of my life? But it's something that we really want to think, that he's showing us there is eternity awaits, that be faithful through this, endure, learn from this, that everything happens for a purpose. This is to try to test you, but you can pass this test, and endure temptation, and you're going to be blessed as a result. We see that in James chapter 1, where he says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And so that's what we want to learn to do, is to trust him, to recognize that he has a purpose behind these things. And because we know what is to come, we know that all these struggles and trials are just going to be a memory. We need to learn to endure. But secondly, too, is I think it's important for us to consider this, is that having a glimpse of eternity helps us to have the right focus now. Because really, we think of it, so much of our lives, what we tend to be focused on, what we tend to worry about, what we tend to strive after, are all things that are going to pass away, that aren't going to be here. Even now are things that we try to hold on to. We think of so many of our possessions. We think of purchasing a vehicle, how quickly a vehicle depreciates. We think of having a home and how much maintenance has to be done to keep it habitable. Changing shingles, changing siding. I know for me as a carpenter that I know that I will there's never going to be a point where I'm going to be out of work because things wear down. But that's the thing, is that there's so many things that we value, that we cherish, that aren't going to be here that much longer. And so we need to learn what our priorities should be. We see in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, John, the apostle, speaks to this. He says, beginning in verse 15 of 1 John 2, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." That this world tends to have a hold on us. We tend to desire after different things. Some that might be harmful to us. Some that are not harmful in and of themselves. But if they become too important in our lives, they can become idols and really get us off track. And so we want to recognize that I need to not pursue after things that are going to pass away. And we see instead the contrast where it says, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And we really kind of see that God has a will for our lives. He has a plan for us that we're to follow. And that's really should be our key and our focus to doing God's will in this day and age. I think one of the greatest examples of this in the Bible is the prophet Enoch in the Old Testament. That we think in his life that you find in Genesis where it speaks of kind of a genealogy of people. And it's kind of interesting how it is written, and it's very repetitive. And basically with each of these different individuals, it's they lived so many years, they had their firstborn child, and then they lived a certain length of time after that, and then they died, and then this was a total amount of their life. And so you kind of think of it again and again, the names change, but it's basically this person lived, had children, and they died. They lived and had children, and they died. But then you see Enoch is different. Genesis 5 verse 21, it says, "Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." That we see the difference, that Enoch lived and he had a son, but then we see something happened after that. And really we understand that when we understand the reason why he gave his son such a strange name. Methuselah means he dies and it is sent. And so we understand that God revealed to him that what was going to happen is that his son, when he died, that judgment would come to the world. And that's when you do the calculations that the year in which Methuselah died is the year that the flood came. And that's significant to note that the man who lived the longest is the man who, by whose death judgment was to come. That we see really in that the long-suffering and mercy of God. Methuselah lived 965 years. And man had almost 1,000 years of warning that judgment was coming. And the sad part is so many didn't listen. But we see the difference with Enoch, that he had this encounter with God, he knew what was coming, and so he lived differently. He walked with God. And we find with him what happened, that he didn't die, that he was not, for God took him. And it gives us really a picture of what we see described here in 1 John chapter 2. When we do God's will, that we abide forever, that it counts for eternity. That we think of what we looked at last week in the book of Daniel, what he spoke of in Daniel chapter 12, that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That when we do God's will, that we abide forever. In contrast to that, we recognize from the Bible that those that do wrong, that pursue after sin, they're going to pass away. And that's why we have the warning in Psalm 37 where it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb." We see further, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." And that's the thing, is that that sin is destructive in the short term, in the long term. And that's why God sent his son to save us from our sins, try to give us deliverance and forgiveness of our sins as we turn to him in faith. But it is the thing, is that if we persist in that, it will consume us, it will destroy us. And so that's the thing, is that especially for us as believers, as children of God, we should know we want nothing to do with sin. That if we want to prosper, we want to be blessed, and we want to live in light of eternity and realize that living for God is what's going to count, what's going to truly endure. We think as well what it speaks of in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 33, where it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." We see that in as well in second, or in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24 and 25, it says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." And so that's really, we want to look at God's word, that it is what stands, it is what should be our guide. That so often in our society, especially today, the word is diminished and mocked and scorned, and looked at as being out of date. But that's the thing, is that it is what endures. And in the end of this world, that is what's going to count. And so we need to follow God's word. We need to not concern ourselves with the opinions of men who will pass away. Instead, we need to follow God's word and hold it in the high esteem that it deserves. But as well, I want to see in Psalm chapter 90, again, the words of Moses. He says in verse 9, "For our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. But we see with that, because our days are passed away, and we recognize that, just how quickly the clock seems to spin every day. And we think of just how quickly 2020 has gone by, and it's amazing that we realize that it's been over 6 months now since this whole thing with the coronavirus has happened. And it just each year, there's no stopping it, there's no slowing it down, that the years pass by very quickly. And we end up looking at our lives, wow, I never expected my life to pass me by so fast. But we see the whole thought, when we know that our days pass away, we see what it says in verse 12, prayer of Moses says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. And that's the thing, is that we need to realize our days pass away, they're short, that in light of eternity, that this life we have now is we have to make it count. And so we don't want to waste our time on this earth. We don't want to just kind of be killing time until it's time to go home. That we realize that we need to be busy doing what the Lord would have us to do, doing His will. We want to stay focused, have the right priorities, have the right mindset, and be guided by His Word, so that we can enter into eternity with no regrets, and that we can be thankful for just what the Lord has enabled us to do, and how He's been able to use us in the time that He's given us. And I think that's really the thing. It's the resource that is the most limited and the most precious, but the resource that we tend to squander the most, and that's the time that we have on this earth. And so we want to make it count. We want to redeem the time, because the days are evil. And so with all of this, we want to have the thought that knowing what is to come, having a glimpse into eternity, as John did, that we want to live in the now with eternity on our minds. That there's different things that happen that frustrate us, that upset us, but I think kind of what we have to often ask ourselves is this going to matter in eternity? Is this going to be a big deal? Is this going to be something that's really significant? And for so many of these things, we realize, no, it's not. And so I can let this go. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to focus on it. I don't have to lose sleep over this. God will help me through this. I can endure this difficulty. But it's not worth getting upset about. But then, of course, we think there are some things that we really want to take stock. Yes, this will matter in eternity. This is something that's significant. And so I need to give it my focus. I need to make my life count for eternity. And so we need to, in this time, and even though it is a struggle for us in our own strength to endure, we need to hang on and hang in there, because we have so much to look forward to. And so may the Lord help us, each of us, that we can make our lives now count for eternity. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You again for Your Word. Thank You for what it tells us of what is to come. And Lord, we just pray it would not just be a head knowledge, that we understand it, but help us to live in the light of it. Help to realize, because we know this world's going to be burnt up, that we should live accordingly, not cherishing the things of this world that aren't going to last, but instead valuing the souls of men around us that need You as Savior. And we just pray You would use us in this time. And we pray as well, Lord, if there's anybody watching this that doesn't know You as Savior, that they would come to know You, so that they could have this hope for eternal life as well. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand and we'll turn to the last hymn.